Technorama episode 543, on the road again.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where is the Technorama Comedy Forecast live show being held this year?
Over there, in the media corner.
Right across from the Topicus track.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. And for some reason, I want to keep saying the topic is Trek.
No.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, we're going to have even a bigger problem next Saturday night with this, you know.
Oh, yeah. What time are we on this one? Which one are we on?
Hey, thank you for joining us. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi here in one half of the Binary Studio in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me way over on the right-hand coast, more or less, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. I'm super excited. Got two work days and I'm out of here.
Two? I got two and a half.
Who sleeps and I'm gone to Dragon Con.
Also joining us this week and next weekend is Clinton Alford from Comedy Forecast.
Ah, it's me way up here in the corner on the East Coast. Can you hear me from there?
He's also way up in the corner on my screen, too, because he's disembodied voice.
The screen isn't hot enough.
I'm trying.
If you're watching the live stream, the video stream, you're probably not going to see Clinton. He couldn't find his camera.
I'm sad. You should come and see me in person at Dragon Con.
Yes, he's much taller than he sounds.
I am.
Right.
Am I really?
Not that old, Keg.
Again.
Okay. So if you're not familiar with the reference we made at the top of the show, Clinton and Craig and I also do another podcast called The Topic is Trek over at thetopicistrek.com. You can't say one without the other. Oops. For whatever reason, the soundboard just jumped around and slammed over Craig's face again.
Because you crossed the streams one too many times.
I did.
No kidding.
So have a listen if you are a Star Trek fan. If not, well, go have a listen anyway. Okay, everybody have their D20 ready? We have to roll.
Yes.
For, now that we have more than just Craig and me, we're going to roll so that we don't think that today's on this day in history.
I got another 20. I swear, I got another
20.
That's two in a row. Okay, my lucky dice.
I got a 17.
Here. I'll be honest. Hey, Google, roll a D20.
That's all right. My line.
You got a 16.
Ooh. 16. Good, but not good enough.
Okay.
You need to train Google more.
Craig, yeah, roll a D20, but don't roll anything less than 20.
Do planned randomness. Got it. Okay.
Pick a number between 20 and 20. Then let us do the history thing, because that's what the music means. On this day in history for August 29, 2018, this is the 241st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 124 days remaining in 2018. Over to you, Craig.
All right, it was on this date in 1708 that copper coins are minted in... Copper coins are minted in Japan for the first time. Traditional Japanese date, August 10th,
708. 708. That's the name on the bus, the number on the bus that used to come by every morning when I'd get the girls ready for school.
Yeah.
We're going to talk something about that in the Patreon show. It was on this date in August 29th, 1831, Michael Faraday discovered electromagnetic induction. Thank you, Michael Faraday, so I can charge my phone without plugging it in.
It was also on this date in 1885 that Gottlieb Daimler?
Daimler.
Daimler.
Oh, there's an L. Oh, that's thought it was another I. Patents the world's first internal combustion motorcycle, the Wright Wagon. As opposed to the wrong wagon, I think.
Left wagon. On August 29th, 1898, Goodyear Tire Company is founded.
That same date in 1949, Soviet atomic bomb project, the Soviet Union, tests its first atomic bomb known as First Lightning or Joe 1. Maybe it's named after Uncle Joe? We'll find out. At Semipalatinsk, Kazakhstan. Whew, that was hard. I almost hurt myself.
Yeah.
It was on this date in 1965 that the Gemini 5 spacecraft returns to Earth, landing in the Atlantic Ocean. And then it bounced and landed in the Pacific Ocean. Then it bounced and landed in the Indian Ocean. It was an exciting day.
It was all around the world. That same date in 1982, the synthetic chemical element Make it up. Atomic number 109 is the first synthesized at the Gellishot for... Whoa. Farfignugan.
Go for it!
Schweinenforswang.
Spell it, sound it out.
Schweinenforswang.
Forschung.
In Darmstadt, Germany. There.
Apologies to all of our German listeners.
I hurt my stomach. Let me get that out.
It was 21 years ago today that Netflix is launched as an internet DVD rental service. That is a long time ago.
Isn't that crazy? They've been around that long.
I love that one.
I swear I'm going to get that DVD back to them real soon.
Let's have some more fun with names and do some birthdays.
There you go. And, that would be you, Clinton.
That would be me. So happy birthday greeting goes out to English physician and philosopher John Locke, born on this date in 1632.
The John Locke from Lost?
Yes, exactly.
That John Locke?
Yes. That John Locke.
Yeah. Polish mathematician and astronomer Jan Szejnik was born 262 years ago today. You know what? The beauty about that, he's old enough not to care.
That's right.
He can't sue us.
Nine Nick.
Born August 29, 1876, American engineer and businessman. He founded Delco Electronics. You remember Delco Electronics? Are they still around?
Yeah.
They used to have like every built-in car radio in the old Chevys and Chryslers and whatnot. Charles F. Kettering is the man behind Delco.
And Otis Boykin, American inventor and engineer, was born on that very same date in 1920.
Richard Attenborough, the English actor, director, producer, was born 95 years ago today.
Not to be confused with David Attenborough, the naturalist. I can't resist any chance to do a bad David Attenborough.
Right.
American captain and politician John McCain is 82 years. Been 82.
Whoops,
wrote this on Saturday. I did not know. So he would have been 80. He died 1 day before his birthday. Oh, wait, no, 4 days, because this is Wednesday, the 29th. He was just shy of 82.
Wow.
Well, salute to you, sir. Also born on that same date in 1938, American actor and producer Elliot Gould.
And James Brady, the American politician and activist, 15th White House press secretary, was born 78 years ago today.
He invented the Brady Bill. No.
And the Brady Bunch.
And the camera.
No, he didn't invent the Brady Bunch.
English journalist, we are all over the place. I think the music is about to run out, so let's get this over with. Journalist and television host Robin Leach was born 77 years ago today. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams to you.
And he also passed away just the other day.
I thought was an appropriate name for someone about with the rich and famous. He was a Robin Leach.
I think you need to screen these.
Well, he was still born on that day.
He was born 77. It doesn't say how old he turns today.
Yeah, he just passed away late last week, I think.
Who's left?
Well, also born on that same date in 1943, Canadian astrophysicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Arthur B. MacDonald of the Arch fame. Yes.
Go, Craig.
And Michael Jackson, American singer, songwriter, producer, dancer, and actor, among other things, was born 60 years ago today.
Also turning 59 today is Canadian colonel pilot and astronaut Chris Hadfield. That's the way it was on this day in history for August 29th, 2018, more or less. we have some listener birthdays. We just wasn't able to cram them in because we were having a bunch of shenanigans during the music. Listener birthdays include August 30th, Maximilian Bjørsten from Stockholm, Sweden.
Hey, I loved him in The Black Hole.
Okay.
No. No. No.
Tim Downing on August 31st.
Not that Maximilian.
No.
September 1st is David Klemkin. Not related to Werner Klemperer.
Come on, How do you know that? You don't know that.
He could be. Scott Tyler on the 2nd. We have to celebrate his birthday again at Dragon Con.
Again. Yeah.
Ben Vaughn on the 5th. And if you want to get on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our wiki over at chuckchat.com/wiki. That's the URL you see right there on the bottom of the screen. If you are watching this in video format, thank you very much. We would love to give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and we didn't get you, happy birthday to you anyway. We wish you all the best.
Yeah. And we'll try and catch you the next time around.
What are we starting out with? Good news or bad news? Or is this impending news?
How would you categorize impending news?
Okay, this is impending news.
Impending news, everyone.
I have to start practicing that for the parade.
Yeah. You need something that has a lot of consonants so people can hear it.
Do you think it'd be inappropriate to carry a Bible and go, good news, everyone?
Why not?
Why not? And for that remark, you could get the first story, Craig.
All right. So I seem to remember we were talking about, I know what it was. So the title of this article is, "We've Got the Meat, Scientists Unearth Final Ingredient in the Forbidden Sandwich." And no, it's not that old cheese we found. We talked about
We're making some pretty old food here.
Yeah, it's been a summer of historic archaeological finds. And we have left the world feeling stunned by the scope of history. These incredible discoveries have also left some implacable urge to eat important specimens. Now that researchers have unearthed a perfectly preserved prehistoric foal, the ingredients of the forbidden sandwich are finally here.
This is just so wrong. This is really wrong.
The Siberian Times reports that researchers from Russia's Northeastern Federal University, which is hard to say, unveiled a carcass of a type of horse that roamed the Eucatia region sometime between 30,000 and 40,000 years ago. It was also found. It was found during an expedition to the. Who can move names these things?
To the Batleth crater. It's right there.
At first, it looked like a greyhound. I thought it was a dog, and then they showed pictures of the hooves. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Anyway, thanks to the permafrost, the young horse has been preserved to a degree that stunned researchers.
Well, permafrost is good at that. That's how they got the baby mammoth too.
Once they were over their stunness, they were able to do some work on it. So in a post on the university's website, Semyon Grigoriev.
We call him Sam.
Yeah, Sam. Head of the Mammoth Museum said the foal had no damage to its body, and most remarkably, its coat was intact. It's said to be a type of Linskia, or Lena horse, that is genetically different from horses that populate the region today. Its exact age is still unknown, and it's believed to have been around 2 months old when it died. The team speculates that it may have fallen into a natural trap and possibly drowned.
You know why they call them Lena horse, right?
Because you have to lean them against something?
The legs on the left side are short.
And they just keep going around in circles all the time.
Yeah.
They're easy to catch that way.
I'm curious what this, the guy that wrote this, what makes up the rest of his forbidden sandwich. Oh, yeah. Well, the cheese. Oh, the bread. Remember we talked about the bread? And we talked about some bread that was found.
And, well, we found some remnants of beer at the bottom of the Pharaoh's container.
Yeah. You can wash it down with some beer.
Right.
And if you survive all of that,
this gives a whole new meaning to the paleo diet, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Then let's move on to the next story. We don't have any segues as creative as on the topic as Trek. So if you want to hear those, you're going to have to listen to that.
Way too good at that.
Yeah. Clinton, would you like our next crazy story? This is actual news. This is news that no other podcast covers, we're pretty sure.
Well, let's find out.
There may be a reason why.
I'm discovering at the same time as you guys are, Batman got pulled over by the cops, even though he didn't break the law. An Ontario provincial officer pulled over Batman while he was on his way back home in his Batmobile, but it wasn't because he broke the law or anything.
Did he lose a wheel?
No,
the Joker
I should
got away.
Say no, I haven't read it yet.
The Joker got away.
Right.
Is Robin smelling or something? I acquired the Batmobile about 5 or 6 years ago, Batman Stephen Lawrence told Bored Panda. The superhero added, however, it's a good idea to practice driving a car like this before hitting the road. But how does one practice driving the car if one's not on the road? This is a dilemma.
He goes to the parking lots and, you know, does like practicing his parallel parking and.
Well, you do bat turns, obviously, in the Batmobile.
Well, wait, he's driving around the 1989 Batmobile. You know, the one that looks like it's got a jet engine strapped under it.
Yeah.
However, I don't think that thing's street legal. Wait, I do see a blinker, part of a blinker in one of the pictures.
Wait a minute, let's play Clinton finish.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you. He was driving from Parry Sound on Saturday when he noticed people taking photos of him in his vehicle.
Why, that's quote, odd.
Look, Martha, that's something you don't see every day. I know, that license plate is really weird.
Is that the Wienermobile?
Yes. Well, I left Highway 400 or Highway 400 or ought or whatever as early as I could because the cell phones were getting quite bad, he said. I ended up on King Street in Caledon. This, I thought, was perfect for me. One lane each way, quiet, scenic drive, and newly paved. But along the drive, he noticed motorists in front and rear of him, driving in a predictable pattern that indicated to him the recording and pictures taken by cell phones. I hung back to discourage the only one I can. I think that's
okay.
Yeah. Red lights ahead. I noticed a QPP SUV.
OPP. That's the Ontario Provincial OPP. Police.
Oh, right.
OPP. You know me.
I'm down with OPP. Right. Anyway.
Yeah. I was at the pole position at the red light. I took the left turn lane to pull up beside the cruiser and ask the officer help to discourage the motorist behind the both of us. She said yes. I then pulled ahead of the officer at the light was already green. Further down the road, I noticed the escort lights were now the pull over lights, the superhero added.
Oops.
It's not a superhero, by the way.
Nothing gets past this guy.
I stopped, jumped out so I could ask the officer, is everything all right? It was. The police officer just wanted something to remember the joyous occasion by.
Selfie.
Oh, man. Picture. Oh, yeah. Boo. That's lame.
He does have a license plate on the front that says DRKNIGHT. Apparently, he was drinking tonight.
Hey, one thing I didn't quite get clear. He was talking about, you know, have to take the car out on the road. And then he mentioned about his cell phones were getting bad. I was like, well, he shouldn't be texting while he's driving this thing.
Well, exactly. No, I think the paparazzi was getting him.
Mm.
So yeah, the cop just wanted a picture. There's a whole series of pictures and a video. If you go to our show notes over at chuckchat.com/technorama.
Yeah, I'll give him props. He looks good in that suit. And I think he should be heading down to Dragon Con.
Take the car.
Not in the Batmobile though, because it's not going to work out for him.
He's got to learn how to drive the darn thing first.
Yeah.
Well, he seemed to be okay driving it. But I don't know.
If he was having trouble on this two lane, one way each way, he's going to love the highways in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere.
Right.
All right. Should we take a quick break? Did I fix this audio clip? I did. Okay, I must have fixed it last week. We'll be right back with more Hacks and Strange Stories, Remember When, and something in the Geek Library you'll want to know about. So hang out with us. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Hello, friends and neighbors. I'm your little podcast buddy, Dave Slusher. The Evil Genius Chronicles is the longest-running podcast on the internet, starting in August 2004 and continuing to this very day. It's a discussion of technology, culture, philosophy, comedy. Conversations may range from politics to comic books, from games to literature, but no matter where it leads, it's a lot of fun. There'll be songs, some interviews now and then. It's a weekly dose of audio joy, except during the dog days of podcasting, when it is a daily dose of audio joy. That's a good 80 episodes a year, and you can join the frivolity at evilgeniuschronicles.org. See you there. Excelsior!
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Dave did not do the dog days this year.
So you get about 65 episodes this year.
I'm not doing so good on things that just aren't living anymore, am I?
He got pulled over by Batman because he was. Oh, that's long story.
I think I'm detecting tachyon particles in this episode. Things are just not in the right time frame right now.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Sure. We'll go with that.
All right.
All right. We have Hacks and Strange Stories. A Swiss man who built a UFO landing port in Argentina. Why? Why, you ask? Because aliens told him to, of course.
Of course.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
If I did everything an alien told me to do.
Go on.
If all your alien friends were building landing ports, would you build one too? This is the story of Werner Yeisley, a Swiss man who in 2008 started building a giant star-shaped OVNI port. I guess that's the official name for a UFO landing spot. There's a new one for your dictionary, kids. Next time you're playing Trivial Pursuit, ask, what's an OVNI port?
Yeah.
He was building it in the Argentinian desert because aliens telepathically ordered him to. Mm-hmm. It's not clear exactly when Werner Yeisley arrived in Chachi, maybe shortly after Joni got there.
Yeah, she loves it.
It's a small town in the Argentinian province of Salta, but it's not hard to figure out what drew him to this place. The deserts of Salta have become famous among UFO enthusiasts around the globe after several sightings of unidentified flying objects and other unexplained phenomenon were reported. After they were reported in the area over the last few decades. On the night of November 24th, 2008, Yeisley himself was allegedly contacted by the aliens who gave him specific instructions on how to build a UFO landing port, a.k.a. OVNI port.
Quote, hey, John Miller Jr. Brought up a good question. Yes. What kind of... He asked, are they going to ask this guy to chip in for gas when they stop in?
it's an alien Uber port.
Yeah. We got to crash for a couple of days. Can we stay at your pad?
We have to draw the regular OVNI port, but then there's another one about a quarter mile away that you have to walk to so that the Uber OVNI port can be used.
Yeah. Elon Musk is going to send some people to Mars using the Uber.
It's a very nice looking OVNI port, I must say. It's very nice pattern to it and everything.
Yes.
I think it needs to de-weed it, but yes.
Yeah.
Quote, I was there at Forte Alto at midnight on November 24th, 2008. Suddenly, everything was silent and the power was cut off, Werner Yeisley told reporters a few years back. At that moment, two luminous objects advanced about 200 meters above the Kalkaluoyi River. They were solid, circular, and had the color of burnished metal.
Meep.
They stood out about 100 meters above our heads and projected a powerful beam of light. The strange thing is that this extraordinary light did not affect our vision at all. At that moment, something began to boil through my brain. It was an order.
Or the burrito I ate for lunch.
They asked me to telepathically to build a UFO port.
Half of that premise sounds like the beginning of The Greatest American Hero, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
I was about to say the same thing. I was going to say the same thing.
Oddly enough, I heard that song today. That's really bizarre. You should mention that.
They gave him the suit, didn't give him the instructions.
Ah! It got lost in the mail.
I'm serious. I was just thinking the same thing. I was waiting for my opportunity to pounce on that.
Good job, Clinton. Good job.
You fit right in.
Yeah.
That's why we ask him here. Because this show needs more Craig humor, I guess.
Yes. That, sir, we can agree on.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh. Don't agree with that.
Let's give a shout out to the chat room. Gentlemen, who do you see? Because we don't all see the same people.
Wait.
Go for it.
We still got a story in there.
We do. What did we miss?
We do.
Oh,
we do.
Study of Canada's Aurora like Steve lights. All right. Whose turn is it? Craig, I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I'll do this. So new research into a strange atmospheric effect known as Steve. Has failed to associate.
Bob must have been taken.
Help.
Hi, I'm Steve.
Wasn't Steve that little monkey with the in Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs?
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. Although it's all uppercase, so it's an acronym for something. We need to find out what Steve stands. Oh, we'll find out. Keep reading.
If I could keep reading, yeah. Okay, anyway, new ahead. Research into a strange atmospheric effect known as Steve has failed to associate as enigmatic.
I used this word earlier in the show.
Light. I don't know what I'm drinking over here. Apparently not the right stuff.
I'll have some of it too, please.
Pointing to the presence of an entirely new type of atmospheric phenomenon. And scientists started to look into these strange lights just a few years ago after people began to post images to Facebook group called Alberta Aurora Chasers. Of course, the researchers didn't look out the window for themselves. I'm just assuming they had to find it on Facebook.
So the abbreviation is ACK?
AAC. That's that audio format that Apple came up with from aliens.
Yeah, so these lights have the outward appearance of conventional auroras, but instead of vast sheets of blanketing the night sky, these lights are narrow in scope, appearing as colorful ribbons. The phenomenon was given a silly name, Steve, or strong thermal emission velocity enhancement.
I think it's summoning the ships to the OVNI port.
Yeah, these things are connected. But the presence of these lights is now the subject of serious scientific scrutiny. The latest research published this week by the Geophysical Research Letters shows that Steve has an atmospheric process. It's distinct from auroras, unsatisfied with the placeholder name. Why not?
Well, I can't imagine why.
They called it Bob. No, the researchers led by B. Galarado. I'm just having a terrible name with names tonight. LaCourte from the University of Calgary. I got that one right. Have proposed the term sky glow. I like Steve better.
Yeah, me too.
He described the previous undocumented phenomenon.
Save Steve.
Yeah. So anyway, they're looking into it.
Steve's bear a striking resemblance to auroras, but with the same important differences as noted, they look like narrow ribbons of light in the night sky featuring vibrant purple and white hues.
It's the Nexus.
It's like a warm blanket wrapped around you. If you could put love around you. Now, can we do a shout out to the chat room?
Sure. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, since we obliterated that story.
Yeah, pretty much. We have John Miller Jr. I see Jimmy Jet Roberts. Wow, we haven't heard from him. He used to do the podcast about nothing years and years ago.
Yeah.
Good to hear from him. Britt C. Helms Sr.
Yes. Yes. I know him.
Who else do you see in there?
I don't know if they're still watching, but Tim Buckley, scout leader with me over at our troop.
All right.
Vicky Fisher, my aunt. She must have seen my notification on Facebook.
Never know what you're going to get when you share one of these things.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Sorry. No.
Co-workers.
Oh, my God, right here. That's all I see.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We do this show Sunday nights at 9:30 most weeks, but not next week because Craig and Clinton and I will be at Dragon Con.
Sort of. Yeah, we'll be sort of doing it next week.
We're going to try to get the audio, at least the audio posted to our feeds. Usually the podcast room is pretty good about getting us a recording. The topic is Trek is going to be another challenge. We're still figuring that one out. We may even bring our own recording devices. But find us here on most regular weeknights. Remember, Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time. You can join us over at the Technorama podcast page on Facebook. It's contagious.
I was going to say, we're podcasters. 9 times out of 10, we're going to have something to record something with.
What do we have? About 40 years of experience between us, and we can't stumble through a story tonight.
It's very sad. Very sad.
Yeah, 40 years of podcasting experience.
This
in your
is what
ear.
You get. If you're thinking about starting podcast, give up now.
Hey, 40 Save years yourself. Of podcasting experience, and it's as good as the first.
You said it.
It never gets old. Let's leave it at that.
It's like fine wine. Leave it in the bottle. There we go. You're
better. The best choice is not to play at all.
That's right.
All righty. Clinton, we have a long list of robotic things. Would you like to introduce this? And we'll pick some off, but we're not going to go through all of them.
Sure. Humanoid robots are still relatively primitive here in the 21st century. Sure, we have Roombas that can vacuum our floors and Boston Dynamics robots that are doing backflips and more than that. But when it comes to the dreams of our own personal robot servant, we're still in the dark ages. You can't go down to Costco and pick up a fully functional robot butler just yet. But robots were going to do so much more than just give us opportunities to have our own Rosie from the Jetsons. These mechanical humans were going to do many phenomenal beep, beep, biddy, beep, close enough, and complex things from writing.
The word of the day, kids, is phenomenal. Sorry.
Writing Hollywood movies to becoming police officers. According to the people of the 20th century, whoever they were, we were supposed to be surrounded with robots by now. Mm-hmm. But here in the year 2018, we feel as far away from that fantasy as ever. Below is a list of just some of the things people of the past and robots would be doing in the near future. Many of them are fun or weird, while others are downright scary. So,
tell us what the robot will do.
There's 99 things on this list.
We'll pick a few of our favorites. Robots were supposed to cause humans to commit suicide. How's that for an opener? Number 7.
Well, we did see that.
It's weirder than that. It says robots were supposed to commit suicide.
That's number 6. Wait, if they committed suicide, how is number 7 even possible?
Well, I think it has to do with Asimov's laws of robotics and, first the robot commits suicide, then he, I don't know. It's complicated. Way, it would take a science.
Robots were supposed to follow the milkman everywhere. Well, that just sounds creepy.
Robots were supposed to replace our pet dogs.
They never did for a while.
Well, I did just watch a review of Sony's new Asimo.
Robots were supposed to become police officers.
They were supposed to help us remove our coats.
Robots were supposed to have dapper mustaches. Flexo.
Robots were supposed to create a 20-hour work week.
Robots were supposed to.
I
think that's already created.
Number 40. Robots were supposed to give Nazis salutes.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Hey, now. Hey, now we get into a weird area here suddenly. I like the one that says robot's supposed to cook and serve your breakfast. I want that robot, and I want it tomorrow.
Robots were supposed to play William Tell. Stand still.
This won't hurt a bit.
Yeah, they're either referring to that or the William Tell Overture, but they didn't say anything about music in here, so I'm assuming it's the Lone Ranger. On the right.
Hey, robots were supposed to toil in our fields. We never really talked like that since the 1880s.
Robots were supposed to ride around on roller skates.
Robots were supposed to clear the table. I'm sure they watch me pull this tablecloth.
Hey, what's cool though, if you follow the link and go to this article, they have links to the things that they're referring to. I know we're joking about it, but if you go, they have like old articles like from 1931 or whatever. They're like smoking robots of the future.
I think there's an article. Yeah, they got this. I think they based Bender on most of these. Listen, number 71, robots were supposed to smoke cigarettes. Number 68, robots were supposed to enslave humanity. Number 78, robots were supposed to punch us in the face.
Just like we want.
I'm thinking they picked up Bender from this list somehow.
I like how they were really specific in some of these. Robots were supposed to service Italian food in Tokyo, and robots were supposed to service Chinese food in California. No place else, apparently. Just those places.
Number 98. Robots were supposed to pull off their heads and become the sickest drum set you've ever seen.
Here you go. John Miller Jr. asked. I'll comply. Number 69 was robots were supposed to adjust our screen walls. Like our TVs right. of the future. Yeah. It's funny. Hey, if you go look at the article, there's a cartoon and it looks like Kirk in the red and white collared uniform. Like it's adjusting the TV. Kind of funny.
Yeah, look for that. I'm seeing Rosie the Robot spinning her head around.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, scroll down. No, you scroll down and click the links at the end of the...
To the recommended stories?
Yes.
I don't have that one.
What?
Me neither.
It says robots are supposed to replace art. You were just reading them. Those are links at the end.
Oh, links at the end. You were clicking some of the links.
Yes.
Oh, I was not clicking through. I see that they are links, but...
Look.
How the internet works? Darn it. I've been doing it all wrong.
Since 1995, we've had these things called hyperlinks.
And
they take you to other related material.
I just go to Google and say, I feel lucky. And then I just go to one page. That's it.
Saves all kinds of time.
I learned how to sharpen knives and drive a Batmobile.
I was waiting for a robot to drive the internet for me. What's going on here?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Should we thank our patrons? They actually put up with a lot of stuff to get to this part.
Like this garbage.
Yeah. Hey, wait.
Thank you very much. This show is sponsored by you, our wonderful Patreon patrons. If you want to become a patron, we're going to need that cue at the bottom of the page, my lovely video assistant. Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic Night Gig Studio, Gary Lindros. We're going to be seeing a lot of these people next week.
Yeah.
John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
That John Noble?
No, not that John Noble.
Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, John Miller Jr., and our newest, latest, greatest BFF, Amber Elstad, has joined the ranks.
Wait.
Yes?
That Amber Elstad?
Yes.
That Elstad. Amber Elstad.
Mind blown.
Thank you very much. If you want to become a patron on this list for as little as a dollar a show, you get bonus content, a shout out in each show. We're working on our annual holiday special treat for you. And all it takes is going to patreon.com/technoramapodcast because this is your show. And thank you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for donating. Thank you for being part of the family.
Yeah, and if you're not a patron, these are the people to blame that bring this to you every week. It's their fault.
Stop encouraging them.
Enablers.
We are. All right, we have one more story in the Geek Library. Craig, I think you can handle this one.
Yes, I got to take this one. This last weekend on Sunday, the 25th, on the 25th, was it the 25th? Was Linux's birthday. And it's been 27 years since Linus Torvalds let a group of people know about his hobby, OS. And he says, or they say, they quoted as saying, did you know that Linux, like the Queen Elizabeth, II, actually has two birthdays?
What?
Some FOSS fans, free and open source software, fans consider the first public release of a prototype code, which dropped on October 5th, 1991,
okay,
as more worthy of being the kernel's true anniversary date. Others, ourselves included, on the people that are quoting here, take today, August 25th, as the birth date of the project for good reason. This is the day in which, back in 1981, a young Finnish college student named Linus Torvalds sat at his desk. Linus Torvalds, yes. Sat at his desk and let folks in the comp.os.minix news group know about his hobby OS that he'd been working on, and the hobby OS that wouldn't, he cautioned, be anything big or professional.
Failed on
now
that
it runs
one.
Everything. It runs on the phones that we carry.
That's right.
All our Android phones. So anyway, thank you, Linux. You've frustrated me and taught me so much about the computer industry over the years. Thank you.
You've taught me so much about myself.
Well, speaking of enabler, it's let me do some stuff that just normally wouldn't be able to do, you know, without paying it through the nose for some software. So Linux is the place to be. Love it.
Clinton, do you have any Linux experience?
Let me check. No.
Other than as a consumer, your website right. possibly runs on Linux.
It did roll some dice for him a little while ago.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah.
So
robots can roll our D20.
where was that on your list?
It was number 100.
Okay. I had to drop it off.
I have a strange compulsion to get a robotic arm that just picks up a D20 and drops it.
Yeah. That's exactly what you need.
I have a strange compulsion to make a D20 that picks up a robot arm and drops it. So weird.
It's weird.
I think we need to give Clinton a new podcast called A Different Perspective.
Every day of my life.
I'm sure Bonnie would be thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk to her about that next week.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
All right. Our question of the week before we go is appropriately related, whether it was on purpose or by accident. Which fictional robot would you want to become real? And there are so many to choose from. Would it be something?
The Terminator, the T-1000.
No.
Ed 209.
Yeah.
We're headed down the wrong path on that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to rethink that one.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That's what
Bender.
Yeah. Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That's right.
What? They're not robots. From
Silent Running. Running.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Donald Duck's nephew.
Yeah, well.
Okay. We're going to ask that again on Facebook, and we'll see what comes out of that. So thank you very much, Clinton, for joining us.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Hey, Clinton, by the way, I just want Bruce Dern and just have him hanging around.
Again, not a robot. Greg,
just, have you seen his acting?
What about Nebula from Guardians? Does she count? Or is she more cybernetic?
I don't know. Does it matter? Well, she doesn't do what you told her to do, so it's not a robot. She's autonomous. That's different.
You can have autonomous robots.
You can, but yeah, she does her own thing. She has her own mind.
So does a Roomba.
Yeah, my little vacuum kind of does its own thing. So
right.
There you go.
Maybe it's self-aware and I don't realize it.
It's just waiting for the singularity. Just waiting for that moment.
I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. It's going to be hovering over me with a knife. Whoa.
I got your Internet of Things right here, Craig.
When did you discover flight, Roomba?
How'd you get up the stairs, more importantly? Yeah.
All right. That takes care of it for this week. We look forward to talking to you again. Hopefully get your recording from Dragon Con next week. They're always fun. I hope you can attend in person. If you are, we will be at the Hilton Galleria 6 at 8:30 p.m. But before that, at 7 p.m., we'll be doing the Topicus Trek at Galleria 2 and 3 right across the hall. So Saturday night is going to be a busy night. If you happen to be at Dragon Con and you, for whatever reason, you can't make it to one of those, we understand. Catch us in the parade. We're going to be at the end of the parade once again this year. Always, always fun. We've got some new cast members joining us. Yay. Lots of talk about that on Facebook group today.
I know, right?
Thank you. And until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. You can find us, if I didn't mention it already a few times, chuckchat.com/Technorama. I think Clinton gets the big one, the big sign off today. Clinton, give him a binary high five.
101!
By your command.
I trained him well.